Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, voters in five African countries cast their ballots on Sunday, including four presidential elections and a constitutional referendum. One of the countries is Niger, and a scholar tells us why the voter turnout was low.
The main opponent was arrested at a point, preventing him from campaigning. And after being released, he became sick.
Parliamentarians from SADC countries embark on a campaign to promote sexual and reproductive health awareness.
We cannot talk of test and treat in Zimbabwe now when we have got 1.5 million people who are infected and not all of them are being treated. So it doesn't make sense. Are we then talking about test and treat in order for us to get funding?
Plus, another episode in our ongoing crime fighter series, A Learning by Ear production. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Welcome to the program. Voters in five African countries cast their ballots on Sunday, including four presidential elections and a constitutional referendum. Incumbents in Niger and the Republic of Congo are expected to sail to re-election, while Benin's runoff vote is less certain. Here's a fact box about the elections presented by my colleagues Abakar Jallo and Martina Kvikovsky.
In Niger, incumbent President Mahamadou Issoufou looks set to secure a second term in office as opposition candidate Hama Amadou was evacuated from prison to France for specialized medical treatment just days before the runoff.
President Issoufou narrowly missed outright victory in the first round with 48% of the vote, and his challenger Amadou garnered only 17%. However, the opposition said it will not recognize the outcome since the imprisonment of their candidate had prevented him from campaigning.
Benin is one of Africa's most stable democracies. Prime Minister Lionel Zinsou faced tight competition with businessman Patrice Talon to succeed Thomas Boni Yayi, who is stepping down after serving two full terms in 5 years.
In the first round of voting on March 6, Zinsou beat Talon by a very small margin, 27% against 23%.
In Congo Brazzaville, President Denis Sassou Nguesso is expected to win another term in office after changing the country's constitution in October 2015 to allow him to run for a third term.
President Sassou Nguesso has been in power for the last 31 years. Eight opponents were up against him, including retired General Mokoko, who once served as security advisor to Sassou Nguesso.
In Senegal, unlike some of his fellow African presidents who want to cling to power, President Macky Sall is seeking to reduce the presidential mandate from the current 7 years to 5 years.
The 54-year-old pledged during the 2012 campaign that he would cut down the president's mandate, starting with his own term, in line with the regional norms.
And finally, Cape Verde, one of Africa's model democracies with a tradition of peaceful political transition in its 40 years of independence.
Three main candidates joined the race to replace incumbent Prime Minister José María Neves, former Youth and Employment Minister Janira Hopfer Almeida, Health Minister Cristina Fontes Lima, and Parliamentary Leader Félix Beto Vieira.
My colleagues Abakar Jallo and Martina Kvikovsky with that fact box. To analyze more on the elections, particularly in Niger, where incumbent President Mahamadou Issoufou is heavily favored to win, I spoke to Professor Mamadou Diouf, a historian living in the United States, and I started by asking him why voter turnout was low.
I think it was so because of the circumstances within which the elections were organized. One, the main opponent was arrested at a point, preventing him from campaigning. And after being released, he became sick and was forced to travel to France to be taken care of. And I think that the way in which the incumbent president maintained a grip on the institution and on the media did not really help, organize transparent elections, transparent campaigns, let's say.
What should be the priorities of the incoming president, whether it is the incumbent Muhammadu Issoufou or anyone else?
I think Muhammadu Issoufou will be elected and he will be forced to call on all the parties and make sure that he is able to build a powerful coalition to be able, one, to negotiate with the international community, because Niger needs help. Not only, we talk a lot about the security situation, which is a huge problem, but it's also a country which is such a poor country. I think also he needs to be more transparent and at least fight against corruption, including against his entourage. And instead of, fighting to buy a plane and have this unclear, relation with Areva, he needs to clean up the system in order to make sure that the conditions are established for preventing terrorism to be successful in his country.
Now, there is a topic that we've been covering for days about human traffickers using Niger as a major route to Europe. Why aren't authorities concerned about this trend?
The problem today with many African, government and with the political elite, they are only interested in their own interests and accumulating resources. The result is they are ready to cover any trafficking as long as they are benefiting from. It's why in many countries, if you take a country like Guinea-Bissau, is why you have such a huge, traffic of drugs, because it's covered by the authority directly or indirectly. In Niger, or it's covered by the authority, or it's covered by some institution like the police or the army, or the government is not really interested in it. So the result is this kind of situation you mentioned.
I was speaking to Professor Mamadou Diouf, a historian in the U.S. Still on elections, a low turnout on Sunday is what characterized a rerun of elections in Zanzibar, the same autonomous archipelago off the coast of Tanzania, as the main opposition party boycotted the poll. Zanzibar's main opposition party, the Civic United Front, and its ally Chadema are not participating in the rerun, claiming it is against the electoral laws and constitution of Zanzibar. Well, I spoke to Dr. Bulendu, DW's correspondent there, and he started by telling us the mood on the islands of Pemba and Zanzibar.
What is going on here in Zanzibar, specifically here in Pemba, where I am, the counting of the votes, which started since 7 a.m., is going on from at the centers where the voting processes were done.
You've been speaking to some ordinary Zanzibaris. What have they been telling you?
The ordinary people here in Zanzibar, most of them are not happy, especially those people who are living here in Pemba. As you know, Pemba is among of the strong area of the opposition side camp. That is, majority of the people who are living here in Pemba are not happy with what is going on here in Zanzibar, because what they need the Zanzibar Electoral Commission to continue with counting of the votes which were voted last year during the general election here in Tanzania. Why? Because who are supporting the ruling party here in Tanzania, they are happy with the situation or the decision made by the Zanzibar Electoral Commission. The ordinary people are divided into two sides, those who are happy and those who are not happy with the decision of the Zanzibar Electoral Commission.
DW's correspondent in Pemba.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Now, Southern African Development Community Parliamentary Forum has begun a three-year program targeting mainly women members of parliament to promote sexual and reproductive health rights in their countries. The forum says the program will improve governance and delivery of sexual reproductive and health services, including HIV/AIDS, services in Southern African region. DW's Columbus Mavunga has more from Harare, where the organization held an awareness meeting with MPs there.
A report by the UN Population Fund indicates that over 20,000 young women die every year due to unsafe abortions, and teenage pregnancies were rising in Southern Africa. The alarming figures pushed female parliamentarians in the region to draw up plans that will counter high mortality rate and other challenges, especially faced by women in Southern African development community. Lavena Dukwon, a manager with SADC Parliamentary Forum, explains their target areas.
The challenges that we have here in Zimbabwe of high mortality ratio, high infant mortality, we have high HIV/AIDS incidence, high HIV/AIDS prevalence. There's very much a focus on women and girls because they tend to be the most vulnerable one. So we want to empower women parliamentarians so that they can advocate for these issues.
SADC, a bloc of 14 member countries, is said to be a home of at least 40% of the global number of people living with HIV. The SADC Parliamentary Forum has chosen 6 countries to be part of the pilot project. Tabita Kumalo says governments such as that of Zimbabwe, led by President Robert Mugabe, must seriously tackle challenges facing HIV patients.
We cannot talk of test and treat in Zimbabwe now when we have got 1.5 million people who are infected and not all of them are being treated. So it doesn't make sense. Are we then talking about test and treat in order for us to get funding? Or we're talking about test and treat just to make sure that it is recorded that Zimbabwe is talking about it? It's highly unfair. We have an Abuja declaration that stated that member states must pay 15% towards health. And up to this date, we have not met that target. So what this basically means is all these people that are on art are going to die. That's what it means. Because as long as we don't have domestic funding, these people are sentenced to death. And this treat and test is going to be even worse.
Female parliamentarians in SADC region believe that their community was lagging behind in efforts to combat HIV and AIDS. The members also fear that the declining economy and food shortages were contributing to already existing problems.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare. And it's now time to sit back, relax, and enjoy a new segment of Crime Fighters, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Greetings and welcome to our radio drama Crime Fighters Land of Chongbe. This is the 5th episode entitled Seeking the Truth. Chief Awombo was found dead at the flower farm of Roses International, a huge foreign company. The land Roses International leased from the government once belonged to Chief Awombo. It was given to him after independence. But what about the people of Chongbe who lived on the land back then? We'll hear more about this today. The officials are trying to hide from the public the fact that Chief Awombo was murdered, but the private detective Mweri is determined to find out the truth about his death. Let's join Mweri on her way to the registry office, where all the land deals and documents relating to land ownership are archived. She has an appointment with the land registrar, Mr. Kubani.
Good morning, Mr. Kubani. Oh, sorry, you're on the phone.
Just a minute, I'll be with you as soon as I finish this call. Have a seat, please. Yes, of course, sir. No problem. Bye for now. I had no idea that my visitor would be such a beautiful sight to behold.
Excuse me? I didn't come here for attention or flattery.
Really, Miss Mweri? Then why did you choose to wear such a short skirt and put on makeup,
Mr. Kubani, please let's not go down that road. I'm here on official business.
We can always mix business with pleasure, can't we?
Do I have to report you for sexual harassment to make you stop your filthy talk? Or are you going to let me explain what's brought me here?
Relax, lady. Take it easy.
Two people are in police custody for something they didn't do. A whole community has placed its hopes in me. I need to find out the truth about how they lost their land to a foreign company and why their chief died. I need your help with the investigation.
I was only joking, eh?
Listen, I need to see the land contract between our government and Roses International.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You heard what I said. I need to see a copy of the title deed giving the Chongwe land to Roses International. I'm sorry, that's my phone. I should have put it on silent.
That's okay. Go ahead and read your message and reply to it. Take your time. I'll be right back.
Where's that damn phone? What the hell is this text about? Mweri, stop searching for ghosts you can't defeat. Or do you want to end up like the chief?
Hey, are you all right? You look like you've seen a ghost.
You could say that. But you know what? We all have to face our ghost at some point, don't we, Mr. Kubani?
Sorry, I don't know what you mean.
Never mind. So, did you find what I'm looking for?
I'm afraid, Miss Mweri, I couldn't find the file. It seems to have mysteriously disappeared.
Is that so? Now, why am I not surprised? Chief Awombo disappeared mysteriously too.
I think our meeting is over. It was a pleasure getting to know you, Miss Mweri.
Huh. The pleasure was all yours. But guess what? You won't stop me from seeking the truth.
Right. Thank you. Thank you all for accepting the invitation to come to my place at such short notice.
Yeah. No problem, Zumari. You said it was urgent and important.
And that it's going to decide our future?
Correct, Akwaba and Jembe. This meeting is crucial for our own survival and that of the next generation. You are all aware that Pambo is in police custody. What you probably don't know is that he is suspected of playing a role in the death of our beloved Chief Awombo.
What? Is that true?
Yeah. That's exactly how shocked I was when they took us both into custody. To cut a long story short, Pambo needs our help. He's innocent, as we all know.
How do you suggest to help Pambo?
By exposing the real killer. If someone killed Chief Awombo, it has to be the owners of Roses International. They were not amused that the chief spoke out against the deal that had us all evicted from our land.
That's more or less impossible, Zumari. You know how well connected the owner of Roses International is. Mr. Gamble socializes with top government officials. Besides, Mori is already working on the case.
Yes, she is. But as you've just said, solving this matter is more or less impossible. Unless
what, Zumari? We don't want to lose our jobs at Roses International when all this is over.
You have to see the bigger picture, Akwaba. Our chief died fighting for our land. We owe it to him to continue that fight.
Yeah,
but how? The government will never accept it. You saw how they treated us during the demonstration.
Yes. And that's why we have to raise the stakes. We have to invade Roses International. Just as we were forcefully evicted, we'll take back our land by force. Everyone will have his own plot. Yes. What's your problem? When the military came to evict our families, they didn't hold back, did they?
They didn't.
The soldiers beat everyone with cudgels. They destroyed our huts and fields. Why shouldn't we employ the same methods?
Zumari, are you crazy? This will be a disaster.
No, it won't. We'll plan it so well, they won't even have time to react.
And what's your plan, Zumari?
That's what I want to share with you.
Tell us. Mm-hmm.
But first, I need you all solemnly to swear that none of what is said here
will go beyond these four walls.
Anyway, it's okay. It's okay. We'll keep it a secret. Just tell
us. Good. Now then, this is the plan.
So, let's see how Pambo's family is doing with him in prison. Lola? Hello? Are you there?
Hey, Auntie Mary, hello. Mom isn't here. She went looking for work.
Hello, Jim. You big boy. Yeah, I know. There was no work for her at the flower farm where your dad found work, was there?
Mm-hmm. And now we don't even have a garden to grow our own food. Why did they give our garden to the flower company, Auntie Mary? I think it's more important to grow food than flowers.
Well, the government got a lot of money for this deal.
Well, the land belonged to Chief Awombo, didn't it? How can the government just sell his land?
Well, the question of who the land belongs to is pretty complicated. Let me try to explain. A long time ago, the people of Chongwe all had their own pieces of land to grow vegetables and keep a few animals like chickens. When our country became independent, Chief Awombo got a huge piece of the land for himself.
As a present, because he'd fought to free our people from the colonialists.
That's right. But Chief Awombo changed the boundaries of parts of the land where people were living. So imagine that your garden suddenly gets a lot smaller.
Why did he do that?
The chief gave the other parts of the garden to people in the clan who were closer to him.
I understand, but that's not fair.
No, it isn't.
And what did Chief Awombo say when the government gave the land to Roses International?
Well, he didn't agree, of course, but nobody had asked him. And since he didn't have a title deed...
What's that?
A title deed is a document that confirms you're the owner of a piece of land.
Aha! So the chief couldn't prove that the land belonged to him.
That's right. He talked to the owner of Roses International to try and get some of the land back. But Mr. Gamble had made the deal with the government, so he wouldn't listen to the chief.
I see.
And with Mary and Jim chatting away, we wrap up this fifth episode of our serial, Land of Chongwe. Is Mary about to make a breakthrough in her investigation? What are Zumari and his friends planning in order to reclaim the land? Don't miss the next episode if you want to find out. You can always listen to this episode or previous ones again simply by visiting our website at dw.com/crimefighters. We're also on Facebook. Until next time, stay safe.
You can have another chance of listening to this episode again on Thursday this week.
For more about Africa Link, go to dw.com/Africa Link. Find out about Africa Link's partner stations. Send us your feedback in a text message and sign up for our newsletter, dw.com/Africa Link.
And now a reminder of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Voters in five African countries cast their ballots on Sunday, including four presidential elections and a constitutional referendum. One of the countries is Niger. Parliamentarians from SADC countries embark on a campaign to promote sexual and reproductive health awareness. In case you'd like to comment on the stories we've covered, you can do so by writing to us via email to feedback.africa@dw.com or ordinary mail by writing to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. For more news, please visit our website, that's dw.com/Africa. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.